What's up, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Lee and Haley Overtime.
It's a podcast.
Are we doing a podcast?
I guess so.
But we don't feel comfortable if people aren't looking at us, so it's also a video podcast. What's up, you guys?
Yeah, I think as far as the KSR family, it's one of the few video podcasts they have. No, I may be wrong about that because I don't pay attention to Matt or Drew. But, but I do believe it's the only non-sports related podcast they have. Not that we don't love sports. We both are big fans.
Huge fans. Yeah. Huge fans. But yeah, thank you to the team at KSR. Lee and I both have done some work with KSR in the past in the podcast world, actually. So we are so excited to be back once again with a new podcast with Lee and Haley Overtime, which is just another fun extension of our TV show, The Lee and Haley Show. And we are just so excited to do this. KSR is just such a wonderful, thriving business and machine, and people just adore it, and we're so happy to be able to work with KSR again on their podcast platform with Matt and Drew and Ryan and
especially Maria
Tostine behind the scenes,
and also
amazing,
and the rest of the gang.
On Three Boys.
I think they're maybe Nashville based. I know they got people in Nashville, and so we're part of that family too, and they got stuff going all around the country.
Yeah, so thank you all for tuning in. If you're watching and listening, or if you're listening just to the podcast version of this, we are so excited to be here. But yeah, if you're listening to the podcast version, we are recording video podcasts of this every week as well that we'll post to the Lee and Haley Show YouTube channel. So if you want to see our glorious mouths move as they make these words, you can watch the video format as well. My phone's ringing. It's a random number I don't know.
You don't want to take it, do you?
I don't. What if it's my doctor's office? Okay. You know, they start with the results right away as soon as you say hello.
You're dying.
You're dead. You've already passed.
Yes.
No.
Okay, so if you're new to the Lee and Haley experience, first of all, in the podcast world, Haley used to be part of a podcast called The A-Block.
That's right.
That was on the KSR platform.
Yes, yes.
And was highly successful. They talked about a lot of chick stuff.
We did. It was myself and two of my friends, and we talked all about, it was just like celebrity news and current events.
Somebody would always cry.
No. I think we only had one episode where we cried. We did a mental health episode.
Right.
Godspeed. Anyway, we had so much fun doing that on KSR. Sadly, we had to end it just because of scheduling conflicts. Both of the other two girls moved away and then got different jobs. And then I was still here and my job was crazy. And just scheduling-wise, it just didn't work anymore. So.
And then I had a podcast that was on the KSR platform called The Funkhauser Situation with Chris Tomlin.
Oh, Chris.
And we talked about chick issues and Someone Always Cried.
Someone Always Cried. You did a mental health episode.
I bet we did.
And it was called Mixed Nuts.
Mixed Nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's how you may know us from KSR. Now, if you don't know us from television, so our talk show, which airs in Lexington on ABC 36, it airs in Bowling Green on WBKO, but it also appears in North Carolina, Mississippi, and Georgia on various stations and different affiliates, and we're trying to grow, and we're going to continue to do that. So,
so
welcome to all those folks that may not be from Kentucky, but watch us in those states, and we're so glad to have you along.
Yeah, if you already know the Lee and Haley Show, thank you for joining us in this new platform. But if you don't know us and you're just here because of the KSR fam, we are excited to meet you, and thank you for watching, and we hope you'll like what we're bringing to the table. We are huge sports fans, so if you're here looking for sports talk, we may do that occasionally if there's something big going on.
We might have a special guest later.
Maybe we'll have sports stars on with us and things like that. But also, we're just going to talk about our show and our lives and what's going on with us and just kind of behind the scenes, a little more unfiltered version. I mean, the Lee and Haley Show is pretty unfiltered anyway, but we do have to stick to guidelines because we are on broadcast television.
Now, I asked Maria this. I said, so this is unfiltered and unfettered, and we can do what we want, right? We can say anything we want. She said no. So I was getting to hope and say a bunch of curse words, but
I
can't.
I mean, she
pretty much the Inquisition from Spain.
Maria Tostine, one of the fabulous ladies behind the scenes at KSR and On Three. She is fantastic, and she, you know, basically produced my old podcast for us. She's worked with you in the past, and now she is who kind of helped lead the way in getting us this new show, which we're so excited about. So what Maria said, because I was in the meeting as well, she said, well...
Oh, were you there?
I was there. She said, well, you can, but just not much. So, you know, if it comes up, it comes up.
Poopy.
Shit.
I got one out. Wow.
Got him. You gotta just get it out there. Look, I'm an adult woman, and this is how adults talk to each other.
Not
and
really.
Sometimes you gotta
adults
say a curse word.
Adults don't do that.
You say curse words all the time.
I'm not an adult.
You're a little boy curse. What are you doing? Why are you showing so much chest?
Because
do you have a low slung top on there?
This is a video podcast, and we're trying to get the ladies.
Oh. What should I do?
To get the ladies? I don't know. What? Wow.
I'm
look
pulling
at that.
Out my sleeve for those of you just listening right now. I've got really good biceps. No, I don't. I have really no upper body strength.
So let's talk about, for those, let's do something about behind the scenes.
Okay.
So what's it like to do a show each and every day with someone so uber talented? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, honestly, working with Bridget is... I appreciate you bringing it up. Bridget is our executive producer. You guys see her on the show a lot. We have a fantastic team. I was going to combine fabulous and fantastic there. Mm. No, it's funny you ask because today, so we record our show. We pre-record it because we are in so many markets, which is such a blessing that we record it ahead of time. It's not live anymore because we have to send it out to the other markets and they all air it at different times, et cetera. So today when we recorded our show is actually the first day I did a show this week. I'm fresh off of COVID, friends. I was out part of last week and most of this week with COVID. But I'm back feeling better. I followed the guidelines of how long to stay at home. So I'm a little congested.
So you took a test?
I took a test. Math test.
What did you swab?
My nostrils.
Yeah. Did you have to go up to your brain old days?
Yeah. Frontal lobe. Not fully developed still. No, I had to go up there and do the test, and it came back positive pretty quickly.
Did you do it to yourself?
I did. I got one of the home tests. Yeah.
Well, how far do you stick it up there?
It says like a quarter of an inch, and it was quite far up there. Yeah. But not bad. Anyway, so I did that, and so I stayed home. I watched a lot of content. I finally had time to watch Saltburn. I also watched, which Lee, you've got to watch it if you haven't yet, The Fall of the House of Usher. On
the
Netflix.
Fall of the House of Usher.
And it's not
it's
Usher the singer.
Usher.
No, I knew you'd think that because I thought that too. Because
I like Usher.
I didn't think the word Usher existed before our Usher, except for, you know, the guy that helps seat you at a wedding.
Right. And by the way, have you ever seen Greg Hahn's bit about being an usher at his sister's wedding because he was fresh out of Marine boot camp?
No.
You haven't seen Greg Hahn do that?
No, I haven't.
He's like, yeah. He goes, I go, shut your mouth, get in that row, tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up. He killed, I put the entire wedding party in one row.
Oh, wow. Hello, Greg. I feel like my necklace is getting in the way. I'm touching my mic. I'm going to move this mic. We have on two mics because we're very cool. No, I haven't seen that.
Anyway, so what's this House of Usher?
The Fall of the House of Usher. It's got a great cast. And it is about a family that they're billionaires upon billionaires, and it's all from pharmaceuticals. Yikes. But anyway.
Yikes. Pharmaceuticals have saved the world.
Yeah, they have. But, you know, sometimes corporate greed is not good. And anyway, so it's about a family that has made it big in the pharmaceutical industry, but then suddenly bad things begin to befall them.
Mm.
So what brought, their last name is Usher. What brought the fall of the House of Usher? Because they are at the highest high and then they are at the lowest low. And it basically is a tale through time over a 2-week span of what happened to this family.
Oh. And I got to watch that.
You got to watch it. Yeah. It's 8 episodes, I think. It is really good. It's kind of dark, kind of a dark comedy, but also just dark.
Oh, it is
it's
funny.
It's got Carla Gugino in it. It's
I
got.
I like her.
I can't think of his name. Anyway, look it up. It's really good.
Dick Van Dyke.
It's got Dick Van Dyke in it.
Is he in it?
No.
I wish he were.
It's got two of the same actors that were in the season one of Reacher are also in this.
Oh, that little cute sheriff's deputy.
Little cute sheriff's deputy.
I like that girl.
Willa Fitzgerald. She is from Nashville, and so am I.
That's her?
Yeah, she's in it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the guy that plays Finley, the detective.
He's in it, too.
He's in it, too.
Was it produced by the same company that's doing the Jack Reacher thing on
no.
Prime?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's really good. Check it out. Fall of the House of Usher. I watched that. I watched Saltburn. I finally watched Barbie, which I regretted not seeing in theaters, but it was very good. Bit of a change of pace from the other
stuff. I like some Ryan Gosling. I love Margot Robbie, and I mean that in a biblical way.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't care for that movie all that much. It was okay. It was. So I liked Oppenheimer better. And Oppenheimer was a kidney test.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I had a big gulp, and I'm like, come on.
Oh, you took a kidney test.
When is this thing? Drop the
See,
bomb
See, that's
already.
One of the pluses of seeing a movie at home, because I always have to pee in the middle of films.
Yeah.
And I always call them films. Why did I say film?
Like, because
I love a good film. I love a good cinematic experience. Mm.
Yes.
But anyway, so...
Anyway, back to what it's like to work with a genius.
You're right. I'm sorry. What's it like to work with a genius? You know, geniuses are oftentimes savants.
Yeah.
They're great at some things and then horrible at others.
Uh-huh.
And so what's it like to work with Lee Cruz? It's great. He's very funny. Always has a quip you're not expecting. Brings a certain
level of
comedy coming. But
what?
Lee lacks the basics of living, of functioning as an adult human in society. My staff, I see fire come out of their ears. Blood starts pouring from their eyes.
When did they become your
staff?
They
start frothing at the mouth in just anger whenever Lee gets access to our shared Google Calendar. Because the man, no matter how many lessons we give him, he cannot correctly book an event on our shared Google Calendar. He'll book the same event 10 times for 10 different days, or he won't book it at all, or he'll only put it on his calendar. Like, Lee, you're great at TV. You're not good at basic things. You can't order anything that we need for the show online. You always have to get Nikita to do it, one of our other producers.
Correct. That's all true. But that's because the system is against me.
What system? You know. Lee, there's no system against
you. Well, I believe it's the communists to some degree.
Okay.
Put together, you know, a system that will always thwart a patriot like myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that Google Calendar always befuddles me. Mm-hmm. I always put it in there. And you know what I love? My favorite thing with the Google Calendar, and I do love this.
Okay, what is it?
When I put it in, I go, okay, this is the event.
Yeah.
And then there's the date, and I put the time on there, and then I get to go to location. Uh-huh. That's my favorite thing.
You do location?
Absolutely.
Why?
And do you know why? Because Google provides a photograph.
Oh, they do. They pick a photo.
And I put it in, and then the magic happens.
Yes.
Oh, look, there's the exterior of Gaddytown, mm-hmm. or wherever we're going.
What are you booking at Gaddytown?
Party.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah. You know, like, I know you're going on a trip soon. Like, you're going to, if you don't mind me saying, Las Vegas,
yes,
or Palm Springs, and
both.
I've noticed you booked that on the
both.
Calendar. The staff and I, at least I think, you're just gloating when you put location on those things. You just
because I love the picture appearing. I don't know what's going to appear, but it's whatever Google provides
you like
me.
Whatever
it pops up, and then that calendar comes to life.
Yeah.
It's a presentation.
It's pretty.
Almost like a movie poster. This is my day. Look
Las
at that.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, Las Vegas. There's the Strip. That's where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
You also do that, like, you like to put, like, your dentist appointments on our shared calendar.
Yes, because I put it in, and there's Justice Dental. There's the thing right there. There's a, look at that.
Not sponsored, but Lee and I both go to Justice Dental in Lexington, Kentucky for our dental care. Dr. Justice and the rest of the team, Dr.
Laura.
Thompson.
Yeah.
We love him. Dr. Pratt, who I see most often.
And
love
part-time
her.
Lachin.
And part-time Dr. Lachin. We love him.
A guest appearance.
That's right. One of Lee's buddies who's also a fantastic dentist there. And he didn't know it was me one time when I was in there because I think I had, well, I didn't have a COVID mask on because they needed access to my mouth. But I think I was laying and he came this way. He was like, hello, ma'am. Everything looks good. Very nice. And he walks out in about 30 seconds. He walks back in and goes, Haley, is that you?
Yeah.
Hit Lee next time you see him. He's so lovely. Anyway, no. So, let's talk a little bit about, I guess, our background for those of you who don't know us, or let's just recap for those of you who have watched us for a while. Mm-hmm. Lee and I have worked together for this year. This fall, we'll have worked together for 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I moved, you're from this area, and you had worked, we originally worked in local news together.
My family migrated from Clark County.
And how far away is that from here?
Well, when you don't have a vehicle that you can count on.
It's long.
It's a long haul.
It's long. That covered wagons.
Highway 60 ain't easy.
Oh, my gosh.
US 60.
Good
we took
Lord.
It.
No, so Lee worked over, you were doing live TV reporting on LEX 18. What's up, buddy? Cheers! In Lexington, and I got a job as the morning anchor at LEX 18 in October of 2014, and that's why I moved to Kentucky. I'm from Tennessee originally, and yeah, we started working together on that morning show, and then a few years later, we kept doing the morning show, but they gave us a lunchtime talk show.
They didn't give it to us.
You begged them for it.
Well, I didn't beg them. I went in and
you
convinced
pitched
them.
The idea.
Yeah, well, I pitched the idea and used some leverage.
Yeah.
Told them you were going to quit.
I wasn't going to quit. My contract was up, and I was going to move on to a different market.
I said, she's leaving.
Yeah.
Unless we do this, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Look at her. So anyway, I ended up staying and doing the morning show longer, and then we did our show, which that was called Live with Lee and Haley.
Yeah, I remember.
That was fun. That was fun. And then we ended up going out on our own. I'm going to bypass a chunk of time there. You're going to notice this. Then we ended up, by our choice and our choice alone, starting our own company.
Yeah.
We left local news, left LAX 18. We still have so many friends over there and had lovely, most of the time, a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
Right until new ownership came in. Anyway, but so many of our friends still work over there.
I hate spelling bees.
I hate spelling bees. Spelling bees are for the birds.
Yeah.
Unless you do whatever it at school.
Whatever you do, don't watch spelling bees.
Nationally televised ones, though. If you do one in your classroom, kids, study up. Stop with the spelling bee. And then we went in on our own and started our own production company and launched The Lee and Haley Show, a new, better, more one-hour version of our old show. Mm-hmm. We just turned it into a one-hour.
Now, why 1 hour?
You asked for it.
Who did?
You did. You said, I want to do 1 hour.
That's true, because it's easier to get into markets.
Ah, yes.
Because if you half hour.
Before our show was a half hour.
Then that general manager has to find another half hour show, and half hour shows are hard to find.
And they're quick.
But if you take an hour, like then when it's I think like, back, okay, they got the whole hour. Yeah. We'll let them have it.
Yeah. And that was, we did that. We launched that show in February of 2020. And
it's going to be 4 years on the 17th.
17th of February.
Are you kidding me?
So it's just been 4 years since we've been doing the Lee and Haley Show on ABC 36, broadcasting out of their studio and then sending it out to our other markets. So mm-hmm. in Lexington right now, you can watch us on ABC 36. And in other markets, just look us up on your local programming. But yeah, what we started in Lexington, and then now we've launched into four other states. As Lee said, Mississippi, Georgia, North Carolina, and
Kentucky.
Okay, four states total. I was going to say in addition four other states. But
no, not yet.
Yeah, so if you're traveling, if you're from one of these areas, or if you're just traveling, listen or watch us on our TV show in Wilmington, North Carolina, Macon, Georgia, Columbus, Mississippi, Bowling Green, Lexington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tupelo.
Gulfport. Love Gulfport. Mississippi. We had a great time there with our staff. So anyway, that's the recap. And now we're here 4 years later and closing in on 4 years and doing the show and churning out 5 1-hour episodes a week.
So in this podcast milieu that we're doing right now, mm-hmm. you tell me that we're not supposed to say, let's take a break. Because people don't go anywhere.
No.
They're going to be here the whole time.
They're going to be here the whole time. As a massive consumer of podcasts.
So it just,
I listen to them constantly.
Just, once the thought's finished, it goes into the next segment?
No, like we'll put a little commercial break in there. Like a real quick little ad break. Just
we
like,
will?
Boop. Yeah, we will.
Well, how do we get to that, though?
When we're done talking, we're done talking.
On television, I say, we'll be right back after these messages, 2 and 2, as Chuck Woolery would do.
Mm-hmm. Well, say that if you want.
I don't want to.
Then don't.
I want to be part.
When
I want to be hip and cool
it,
with the
like,
podcast. By the way, there's a puzzle here. Why is that?
Yeah, guys, I keep touching this puzzle because I'm anal retentive. But this is the puzzle every year on the Lee and Haley Show. We do a 1,000-piece puzzle. Not just Lee and I, but our entire staff. And we did it 1 year, and we took a picture of us holding the finished puzzle. Well, then that became the puzzle the next year, that picture of us holding the puzzle. We've now done this for 4 years. So this puzzle that you see here, very crude right now. We've only done some. But it's a picture of us holding the puzzle.
Of us
holding the puzzle.
Of us.
Of us holding a puzzle.
It's infinity.
In the picture of the puzzle. So, anyway, we just started this last week, and then I got COVID, and Lee refuses to work on it. Because you hate puzzles?
I don't care for
them. You don't care for
them. They frustrate me.
Yeah, sure.
Seems tedious.
Anyway. So you're not doing Dry January?
No. I am not.
You're not. I am. And I'm the day we're recording this on January 10th. I'm 10 days in. Doing fine. Not really thinking about it.
Good
I'm kind of
you.
Excited about the health benefits because I looked up a bunch
and
of
what are those?
I looked up a bunch of TikToks or I kind of saw them because they're always posted for Dry January. And it's just talking about better sleep, better digestion, better, clearer skin, better focus.
I don't need any of that.
Your just body is functioning better. And so I'm just thinking, ooh, this is fun. I'm just like, ooh, my body's getting a nice little break, a little cleanse because, yeah.
What I need is a numbing agent.
You need a numbing agent.
Yes. To deal with all the issues.
Oh, no.
Because I got bad skin. I'm not hydrated.
Oh, so if you take a drink of alcohol, it erases those issues.
Well, I don't feel those issues.
You don't feel those issues.
Correct.
You don't have bad skin. You actually have really nice skin.
Thank you.
Might I touch?
Sure. Because I shaved. I
was going to say, you look
carrying
freshly
the beard
shaved.
For a while.
Have you?
Well, since, what, No Shave November, I was fully...
You shaved all that.
Yeah, but then I let it grow back over the Christmas break again.
Oh.
But I shaved it recently because I did a presentation, a business presentation for a company.
Yeah, and you thought,
as you know,
never gonna buy
I am the third top salesman for Mary Kay in Mississippi.
Oh my gosh. Lee said that one time and posted it on social media, obviously as a joke.
And I tagged Mary Kay.
And someone thought it was real.
Yeah, they're like,
somebody
well,
commenting,
come on
they were
down.
Like, wow.
I'm over in Biloxi. Why don't you come over?
Like, wow.
You can use my house.
Quick, touch it, my puzzle.
All right. All right, Caleb, how much time do we have left?
It's 15 minutes. 15 seconds.
Oh, oh my 15 seconds. Just in time.
This would be, Lee, right when you would toss a commercial break on
TV. But I'm not doing that because it's a podcast.
It's a podcast, Lee. Everybody, they're either working out right now or cleaning their house or
so all we just have
driving.
So just music's going to start and then the next segment begins.
You know what? You want to know what it's like? I'll show it to you. It's going to start right now.
Look who joins us, our very first guest, the pride of the Commonwealth, Mr. Tim Couch.
Oh,
what's
my
up, guys?
God.
It's good to be with you. Hey, Haley, how are you?
Same size hands.
Same size hands. Yeah, very similar.
Oh, my God. I grab one of those promotional footballs that they give out at events. That's what I can probably grab.
That's perfect.
And I do. I'm like, this must be what it feels.
We did a football feel the way it feels to you now. What age are we talking about?
The way it feels now?
Yeah.
I've always had the big hands, so early age, you know, I could always
like
throw like...
Age three, you were just...
No, probably not that age.
But no, he was born
probably,
with these.
Yeah, just born with these hands. I grew into them.
It was hideous.
just a hideous. Big head, big hands.
But baby size elsewhere.
That's right, yeah.
Can you imagine a newborn those size hands?
No, it would
That's
be weird.
Disgusting. Yeah.
But when did you feel like, holy cow, this is...
I think probably, it seems like probably sixth, seventh grade, I can remember throwing like a full-size ball because, you know, when I was in eighth grade, I was already 6'3" in eighth grade. So I thought I was going to be 7 feet tall, which was going to be horrible. I was like, I don't want to be 7 feet tall. I've got to stop growing. So luckily, I only grew a couple more inches after that. But
what did you do to deter that growth?
I didn't do anything.
Smoked a lot of cigarettes?
I smoked a lot of cigarettes, drank a lot of Mountain Dew, you know, that kind of thing.
The good stuff.
And did you, when did you begin playing varsity football?
I actually started playing varsity in seventh grade. I started on the junior varsity and freshman team in basketball in seventh and eighth grade. Then I backed up my brother, who was a starting quarterback on the varsity. I was his backup in seventh and eighth grade. So I didn't get to play elementary ball after sixth grade. I played only on the high school teams. So.
And did you take your brother's position
at
some point?
No. Actually, it worked out where he was a senior and I was an eighth grader. So when he graduated, I was moving in. So yeah, I just followed in his footsteps.
Well, anyway, one of the reasons Tim is here, because all of that you heard about, the early childhood development, led to the induction into the College Football Hall of Fame, which is happening, I think, this summer in Vegas.
It's actually this winter in Vegas.
It's
close enough. It's in December. It's a long wait. But, the class was announced on Monday, and I'm just blown away by it, just honored, thrilled, humbled. I've been on the finals list for several years now, and it's just a very tough thing to get into. You know, they sent me some information on it, and they said, I guess there's been 5.7 million something people play college football, and only like 1,000 people are in the Hall of Fame. So it's an exclusive club to get into. It's a long wait. You know, I'm going in this year's class with some unbelievable players. Randy Moss is going in, Larry Fitzgerald, Warwick Dunn, Julius Peppers. Alex Smith. A great class of guys, and really looking forward to being out in Vegas with those guys. Shouldn't be too much fun. You know, that location's really not a fun spot. You know, I was thinking more like Boise, Idaho.
Boise in the winter.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
My gosh.
Yeah, very tropical. Yeah.
No, I mean, that is so awesome. And it is cool to think, I love hearing those numbers, because it does, I mean, you're already obviously so excited about this. Everybody's so excited for you that watched you play at UK and then in, you know, the NFL as well, but for college. But it is crazy when you put it in that perspective of how many played.
Yeah.
And only so many get,
you know,
in.
I knew
it's even more special.
It does. I knew it was an exclusive club. They sent me that information. I was just kind of reading through it. And I'm like, damn, that's like less than 1% of the people that's ever played, you know, in college that are in there. So it's just you know, something you never really think about. You know, when you're an athlete, you're going through the process of, you know, you're playing, you're just trying to go win games and be the best player you can be. And then, you know, something like this happens years later after you're done. And it's just, it's very humbling and very, it's certainly a huge honor and really excited about it.
We're certainly proud of you. And I guess, even though it's just a couple of days that this has happened for you, do you feel a sense of pride from fellow Kentuckians that we're following your career, that we're so excited when you finally came to the university and played?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've, my phone has been blowing up the last few days and with text
Stop
messages.
Well,
you know, text messages and Lee and I FaceTime. We just go right
hey,
for it. Hey, what's
great.
Up?
Yeah. Look at your Hall of Famer, the Bailey.
Yeah, that's how it went. Yeah.
You know, my favorite, here's one, a Tim Couch story that that, I'll tell you, if you don't mind listening to talk about you for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to make this about me.
Sure.
But I lived near campus, so this is maybe 6 blocks, a mile, mile and a half from campus. And I would go to the games whenever I could. I would walk over and all that. I couldn't get tickets to the Alabama game. You know where I'm going with this.
Yep.
It was so loud when that miracle was performed.
Right.
I mean, my goodness. I could hear it. I'm in the house. And this was before the SEC Network, so you don't get to watch a football game until it's tape delayed.
Yeah, it's tape delayed. Yeah.
You get to see it.
What?
And I'm sitting there, and I can hear. And I'm like, what? That, is that the stadium?
Water into wine. It must be that miracle.
Yeah.
What's going on in there?
And I thought, holy no, surely God, we're not beating Alabama. No way, no how, but this guy, along with his teammates, pulled off that miracle.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the first time Kentucky had beaten Alabama in 75 years. And, you know, and the way we did it, you know, that game was just so back and forth. And I remember we had blocked a field goal and ran it back for a touchdown in that game. Just both plays on great great plays on both sides of the ball. And then we get to overtime, and it just happens to set up the way it happened where, you know, I got the ball to Craig Easton, and he broke a tackle, and he goes into the end zone, and it's as soon as he crossed the goal line, it felt like all of Commonwealth Stadium was down on the field with us.
Yeah.
People rush the field, they're tearing the goalposts down, and you're just swarmed by fans, and it was an awesome moment.
And there you are in just seventh grade.
Yeah, just seventh grade with these big old hands, and
that
I didn't know
crazy.
What to do.
Yeah.
Another Tim Couch memory I have.
Tell me more about your Tim Couch memory.
For a moment is when they honored Tim and Keelan with a commemorative bourbon bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember interviewing Tim about this, and I thought, well, if we're going to be, you know, really generous, and I remember telling you this and you laughing about it, is that you should be able to pour that Tim Couch bourbon into a Craig Yee shot glass.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because Craig is about my size.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I mean, he was an unbelievable receiver and a big part of your success.
Yeah.
But Craig's not the biggest guy you'd ever meet that played football.
Yeah.
Speaking of, by the way.
Are you of age, Tim?
I'm of age, yeah.
Okay.
So,
finally.
As you see these behind us, the other reason that we brought Tim in is because he's one of the owners of Limestone Farms, which sponsors our TV show.
Yes. Yeah.
Fabulous blend. This is the 7 year, I believe.
It's the 7 year, yeah. You got the whole lineup here. You got the whole family. Yeah, this is great. This one's really good. I think this one's probably my favorite here. But
the private?
Yeah, the private select.
Here, so. I don't know if you're in Dry January. If you do, I'll just do a double shot. But
no.
Haley is in Dry January.
I'm doing
January,
Dry January.
So. You're Dry January. How miserable are you?
January.
Yeah.
I'm okay right now. It's just the 10th. I'm doing all right.
Okay.
So I'm like, I know by the 30th, I'll be like, I'd kill for a glass of champagne.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to bust. We wrote our New Year's resolutions on miniature bottles of champagne on the show. And so on February 1st, I get to bust that baby open. So.
Perfect.
Anyway, so I'll.
Anyway, to you, buddy.
Yeah, cheers. No Dry January here.
Cheers with Limestone Farms Bourbon to Tim being inducted into the College Football Hall.
Now, before we let you go, Haley wants to know if you've watched one of her movies.
Okay, I nearly asked him before we started, and then I decided to save it. It's all we're talking about in the office right now, and probably you at home, or it's what everyone's talking about, Saltburn. You've seen it.
I've seen Saltburn.
Okay, what made you watch it? Were you forced into watching it? Did you hear about it?
Were you alone when you watched it? Did you have company?
I had company, but I just saw it on Netflix, and it was like one of the top movies or whatever, so
that's
I was like, that's how they get you.
Yep.
So I'm like, let me watch this, and then, you know, it's kind of slow moving, and then they get to the scenes where
it's a weird way to clean a bathtub.
It's a
weird.
Yeah, there's very
That's
weird.
That was Tim's thought, too. He was
there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
Cleaning lady never does
forever.
This.
Never does this. You know, I got to find new help.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, that scene. There were a couple others where you're just scratching your head. You know, the grave scene.
Yes.
Pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Apparently improvised by the actor Barry Keoghan.
Is that how you say it?
He improvises. He came up with that on his own.
So we got. Wow. I found out about this movie from our producer Bridget.
Yeah.
She sits right there, and Bridget loved the movie, and it's a great film. It's beautifully shot, cinematic masterpiece.
Sure. Yeah.
But she kept praising the character that you know is questionable to say the least. And as I watched this film, I know for at least 3 times I was by myself. I kept going, Bridget.
How could you like this?
What in the world?
She said the only thing she liked about him is he inspired her to have a goal. This man had a goal, and he pulled out all the stops to get there. You can't fault fault him for that. Okay.
So Bridget
he's great at time management.
Right.
He's great at achieving. He's great at focus.
And he accomplished all those goals. In the end, he's just alone in that big old house, you know?
We're doing a nude dance scene. Right. Isn't that the dream, Tim?
It's the dream. That's what we're all here for.
Vegas in Vegas. December, nude dance.
That'll be me right and the Bellagio. There. Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
we'll
see how long that lasts
in
the casino.
Right. There's Tim Couch.
Yeah.
Pride.
Hall of Famer, nude dancer.
Yes. Has this Hall of Fame induction, has it gotten you any more street cred with your kids? I know you have two boys.
I've got two boys.
And, yeah, they're into it.
No more street cred. No, still just dad. They just still want to know what's for dinner, you know, what we're doing this weekend, those kind of things. You know, they are happy, and they're happy for me and those kind of things. But they want to know two things. Can I go to the ceremony? I'm like, yes, of course.
Of course.
And what are we going to do in Vegas? Because all there is there is gamble for kids. I'm like, there's plenty more to do in Vegas than gamble. I'm like, we can go to shows. We can do, you know, anything. Sure. You know, so now they're excited about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So after the playing career, why did you let yourself go? I mean, what happened?
Yeah, you know, just got lazy.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, same old habits I had when I was a player, just not very disciplined and just let it go, man. I just figured, why not?
Well, I've got a new trainer named Matt. He's showing me how to do push-ups correctly now.
Mm-hmm. Matt Weigel.
Matt Weigel.
That's my guy. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I was doing them wrong.
You and Matt,
maybe you should go see him.
Matt is a trainer, and I would say celebrity trainer. He's trained Tim for years.
Yeah.
Look at this piece of crap over
look
here.
At this.
Also, hideous. Maria Montgomery.
Hideous. Maria? Yeah. Hideous. Yeah.
Hideous. Yeah. No, and yeah, we
just. I am not actually just so. I don't want to ruin Matt's business. He's not actually training.
I was wondering, were you really training with Matt?
We did shoot a segment where Matt did run you through.
So you did technically train with Matt.
Yeah. He said, you're doing those wrong. I went, he goes, is your rotator cuff hurting? I'm like, yes.
How'd you know?
How'd you know that? Doing everything wrong.
Right.
Oh.
No, you'll see that soon on the show if you haven't seen it already on the Lee and Haley Show. Yeah, we did train with Matt because everybody's thinking about getting in the gym. And
it's that time of year.
It's that time of year. And, you know, so he
Matt does a great job.
Yeah, he's a B-fit if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, which is his gym.
Well, anyway, buddy, we are so proud of you. Thanks for coming in and being our very first guest on Lee and Haley Overtime.
I appreciate you guys having me on. First guest, it's an honor, man. Yeah. I loved it.
Cheers,
thank you.
Buddy.
Cheers. Cheers, Haley.
Farms,
drink your water.
Buddy,
Limestone Farms.
Kentucky blended, Kentucky made. These guys are doing it. It's fantastic.
Cheers.
Okay, so what we're going to start doing now in this section of the podcast every single week is our staff is going to submit random ideas and topics.
They're doing it for this first show, but if folks at home want to do it, they can as well.
Oh, okay, great.
So they could write to us, ideas@leeandhaley.com. And so we could have a topic you want us to discuss. We'll do so.
Absolutely. So this week, our staff, though, has provided random topic ideas for us, and then Lee and I have to discuss them. So they have folded them up on sheets of paper. Lee will unveil them, and then we must talk about them. But yeah, shoot us your ideas, ideas@leeandhaley.com.
All right, the first one. This is from Nua.
Okay.
Favorite, and Nua is a photographer editor, and he looks like he's 12. A favorite movies based on cinematography. Nua. Well, I think we mentioned earlier Saltburn.
Yes.
Which was beautiful. It was
the
a disturbing
Netflix movie
film.
Everyone is talking about.
Let me think. What else is beautiful that I love? Well, the classic, the best looking movie of all time is Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, okay.
You ever seen it?
Yeah. I think so.
Peter O'Toole, those magnificent blue eyes he has. In the desert?
All I can think of when people talk about cinematography in a beautiful film is a joke from Will and Grace. And so I'm not listening to you because that's all I'm thinking and I want to describe it to you.
All right, go ahead.
Grace has sex with someone. She's with her boyfriend or something. And she has sex with him. And someone says, I think Will says, like, well, how was it? And she said, it's like an Ang Lee film. Slow, but no, dang it, I messed it up. She said, he said, what was it like? She said, well, it was like an Ang Lee film. Slow, but stunning. So that's all I think about when people talk about cinematography. How was it? Oh, an Ang Lee film. Slow, but stunning.
La La Land.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautifully shot.
Especially that dance scene that we tried to recreate, by the way.
You can
find it on
our
YouTube page somewhere, I believe. And it was, I mean, we shot it in Frankfurt over the Overlook. And we got that magic hour when the sun was setting, but the problem was we can't dance.
No, we can't dance
We're
at
not,
all. But that was funny. No
Gosling
one thought we could dance.
And, what's her face?
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone, yeah.
Fresh Golden Globe winner. She just won a Golden Globe for Poor Things, which I've not seen yet. Are you going to see Poor Things? You probably will. You see every movie. Do you feel
maybe,
bad if
don't
you don't see movies? Because you kind of see all of them.
No, I got a, you know, I'm a sucker for a good marketing department. Mm-hmm. If you make a trailer that I think is interesting, mm-hmm. like I want to go see The Beekeeper, mm-hmm. Jason Statham.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I love any, I think
when
any,
he's my guy, it's just, you know, he seems, the only thing he had in his life was Felicia Rashad.
Oh, and then.
And then she's taken from him.
She's taken from him. What's he got to do?
He's got to kick ass.
He's got to sting everybody.
So what is your favorite cinematography film? The one that just looks beautiful?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think, I'm not a movie.
I think it's Porky's.
I'm not a movie consumer like you are. Like, I don't see as many movies as you do, and I don't base, like, my love of movies. Like, you are like, oh, that movie was awesome. It was beautiful. I could be like, I just don't see movies that way. Like, you and people like Nua that are behind the scenes or camera guys or into tech or things like that, like, because you've made movies in the past.
Yes, but those... Or for okay. the adults.
All right, that's not slow, but visually stunning.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by the process
and
of filmmaking.
I just see occasionally because of our work
I'm
in
no
TV.
I'm different than you. You're qualifying me like I'm just some geek. I want to feel
didn't
something.
Do that.
The movie has to make me feel
okay,
something.
Okay, you're so sensitive. I didn't say that.
I know.
And I didn't even get to the end of.
Don't jump around like I'm what.
We're pointing, for those of you just listening, Lee and I are both pointing at each other but not
this
saying anything.
This is the last podcast we're ever going to do. We tried it once and that's it.
And your neck is bulging.
Thank you.
It's visually stunning. No, I didn't even get to finish my thought. I was just going to say, because of my work in TV, sometimes I will see things and think, oh my gosh, I can't believe they got that shot. How did they get that shot? Like, I do that constantly when I'm watching documentaries like Planet Earth. Like, documentaries for me, I'm always like, oh man. But
when I was five...
Most movies, I love them because they either entertained me greatly or they made me feel something, be it deep laughter or deep sorrow. That's usually when I say I love a movie. Oh, don't drum your fingers at me.
Well, you've taken the momentum from the joke I was going to do.
What was the joke? Childish joke.
When I was five, I used to wonder, too, before vaccination day, how did they get this shot?
So
it would have been great in the moment, but you wouldn't let me finish.
Lee, that's what she said.
Yes. All right.
All right, what's next?
Also from Nua, your all's favorite music genres.
Mine used to be country through and through. Mm-hmm. Country through and through. But
then what happened? That boy from the city.
And then that boy from the city. No, I don't even know. Like, here's the truth about me. I get embarrassed when people ask me about music because I feel like I'm not cool enough. I don't listen to.
Well, you're not.
I know. And
you
so
should be embarrassed.
I'm obviously a Taylor Swift truther. I love anything Taylor puts out. But I love deeply emotional stuff. Like, if I'm sad, I want to be sadder, okay? And I want to listen to sad, emotional songs. I like beautiful, breathy artists, like men and women. I like songs
like Ethel Merman.
I love Ethel Merman.
That's breathy.
Yeah, no, I don't know. So I get embarrassed, and I typically say I like whatever everyone else says they like about music because I feel embarrassed that I don't have a solid opinion. I just know if I listen to something, I know if I like it or not.
I'm the exact opposite. I remember being in the back seat of my buddy's big truck or something. I don't know, when they're all listening.
Why were you in the back?
Guns and Roses.
Oh, they're in there too. I thought you were alone.
And Roses. We went, listen to this Megadeth and here's Metallica, which actually I like some of those genres and
sure
some of that music.
Do.
Metallica especially. Mm-hmm. And they go, what do you like, Lee? And I went, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yes.
And I did it because I'm a contrarian.
Yeah.
I do like Michael Jackson, did, I guess.
Sure, love it.
But I love
the
Reverend.
Music.
I love Reverend. Well, of course, the music.
Not only one
what
person being like, how
about?
Dare you say you like him?
Well,
that's how she
person,
talks.
I don't care about that
She's
person.
Running a 1920 switchboard. That's how she talks.
Also like Reverend Al Green. I love jazz now. I didn't always like jazz. I thought that was weird, but I'm a big jazz mm-hmm. fan now.
I'm mostly
and
like...
You know what got me? I was gravitating to jazz. I could feel it being pulled to me. I was a gravitational pull. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
I'm getting sucked into jazz.
I'm starting to like this music. Why does it make me feel good? Like I want to be at a speakeasy with a beautiful lady talking... Yeah. Nonsense, holding a cocktail and going, you know.
What does your nonsense talk sound like?
Well, what are you doing here? Let's get out of here.
nonsense.
But let him finish that set.
Sure.
That's my friend there.
I love this jazz.
But it was La La Land. It was that whole speech that Gosling gives about jazz that I love.
That movie.
It made sense to me because I could apply it to comedy. It's the same sort of feeling and thing and appreciation for the art of it.
Mm-hmm.
What he said would apply exactly to the business I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Kay Cosmetics.
I was going to say, what business is that? Selling makeup to women?
Not again. If you want to write to us and give us a topic, we'll ideas at leeandhaley.com. This is from Caleb, who writes like a serial killer.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Is that his handwriting?
What is this?
Unmarked bills
in
a suitcase.
If you ever
want
to see your daughter again.
Leave it by the trash can in the public park. No cops. I love when they say that. When people try to give a ransom, they always say, no cops. I'm like, has anyone ever gone no cops? People always call the cops.
Hmm. Here's what Caleb says.
Okay.
Talk about disturbing.
Top three ways to kill someone.
He wants us to talk about how there is a Jacob Elordi.
I'm in.
Elordi?
Elordi.
Elordi?
Jacob Elordi.
It's a
Would
Roy
you just have
bridge.
Some dental work done?
Elordi?
Look at the word.
How do you say it?
Look at it.
Well, I don't want to look at it. It scares me. The way this is written.
How is it spelled?
Elordi.
Yes.
And that's how you say it, Jacob Elordi.
Just Elordi.
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 Yeah. Oh, that's how I
That's
feel.
How I remember it.
Yeah.
Like my grandmother.
Yeah.
When, you know, my grandfather has done something.
Elordi.
Elordi.
Okay.
Anyway, talk about how there is a Jacob Elordi bathwater candle.
What?
Is that right?
There is? Caleb is here recording
with us. It's sold on Etsy, inspired by Saltburn.
Caleb, excellent topic. Caleb is one of our other photographer editors.
What does
editors.
He smell like,
Lee?
Jacob Elordi.
Let me see this. I can't trust you. A Jacob Elordi bathwater candle. So if you've seen Saltburn, the bathwater candle, it would smell like, I imagine whatever soap he used.
And some Clorox.
And whatever soap he used, if you know what I mean. It's being sold on Etsy. Wow.
I don't want that.
How, I need to know who's making this product. How, you know, because that
Degenerates,
scent,
that's who's making it.
That scent has to come from somewhere, and I doubt it came from Jacob Elordi's bathwater. So how did the maker procure the scent?
Some ugly hairy man.
Yeah, had to.
In the bathtub.
Take a bath and just, do the
yeah,
do.
Hey, I'm Jacob Elordi.
I got to look this up
You
got to
look
now.
It up?
I got to look it up.
Okay.
Caleb with the good intel. Jacob Elordi is so hot. He's 6'5".
He's a child.
He's 6'5".
He's a big boy, but
Jacob
he's a
Elordi's
child.
Jacob Elordi's bathwater. Yeah, it's on Etsy.
He's 6'5", but a horrible 3. Meaning he can't play that position.
Oh, okay.
He's too slow.
I bet he can play any position. What? Mm. It is $26. It's a scented soy candle. It says it's a funny candle.
A funny candle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
So, what does it smell like? Okay, let me read
them. I don't want to know. Can we move on?
Item details. Smells just like Jacob Elordi's bathwater, Margot Robbie, in quotes, is what the candle maker is saying.
Margot
okay.
Robbie
I'm
says
sure
that.
She buys it and burns it. You know what?
Now, why don't they have a Margot Robbie version of that?
Well, she hasn't done a bathwater scene like that. Yikes. Jacob Elordi, you are... How old is he?
All right, 24? We got to wrap this up. You ready?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's like 26 or something. He's a child.
Okay. Why is it okay for women to date older men, and it's not as okay for men to date older women? I would be the older woman in this scenario. If only
right?
he'd have me. Mm-hmm. It's those rules that keep us apart. If that rule wasn't there, he and I would
I
be together for sure.
I don't see anything wrong with those rules. I like those rules.
You don't think young men should date older women?
No, I don't care if they do.
Then what rule are you applauding?
But it usually doesn't
You
work.
Don't want Jacob and I to be together?
No, you guys can be together if
Jacob
you want.
Jacob Elordi?
Yeah. But I don't want to be, you know, with some older lady.
No one says you have to, but if you want to, you can.
Well, if the age difference...
The rule isn't you must date 10 years older.
If we were to flip it, is what I mean.
Well... Us younger women don't feel like we have to date
younger
older men.
Younger women? You're throwing yourself in that category. It's a podcast, lady. This is where we're supposed to be authentic.
I'm younger than you.
That's all right.
I'm sorry you're dating that 80-year-old woman.
I'm sorry.
But she's beautiful.
That men don't age as fast as women. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, here's our final. This is from our executive producer, Bridget. And she writes, most uncomfortable you've been on a what? I don't understand any of that. Try to decipher
most
that.
Most uncomfortable you've been at a significant other's house.
Most uncomfortable.
Most uncomfortable you've been at a significant other's house.
Yes.
If I hadn't said significant other, because she actually wrote at an S-O's house.
Yeah, I didn't know what that
meant. Which is slang for significant other. If I hadn't said significant other, give me what you think S-O's.
I thought the S stood for, you know what?
What would the O stand for?
Other? I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay.
S-O, I thought it was a military term.
I'm going to tell a funny story on myself. So I've talked about this a little on the show. I think you grew up in a house where bathroom activities are talked openly about, no one's embarrassed by them, or you're very private. I grew up in a private household where bathroom activities are private, and no one's in there when you do that. You don't talk about it. We all pretend that we don't do that. So you can imagine how that stunted me, like the first time I had to go stay at like a boyfriend's house or something like that, because what if the pain hits? And then what? So I am was constantly terrified of
You want to play a home game.
I want to play a home game. No. And I can't.
You don't like taking it on the road.
Oh, no. So like my first college boyfriend, we had a long distance relationship. And so when I would go stay with him, we would go stay at his parents' house, and they were there. And then I didn't want to go to the restroom all day when they were there because I was so terrified of smell or
what
just them knowing that I'm in there.
My goodness.
I just go to the, number two. But I just I need it to be completely private and silent, and I need no one to talk about it. I was afraid,
silent.
God forbid, someone would
You're afraid of noises and of damaging the porcelain.
No, afraid of them I don't need them knowing I'm in there. Like, if I go to the ladies' room and I'm in there for 30 seconds to tinkle and wash my hands, we're good. But I had a real fear of people knowing I was doing
that.
They
don't want to see you taking a newspaper in there.
No, Or back in the day, a magazine. A smartphone when I was in college, this is in like 06, mm-hmm. baby. My phone was an LG flip phone.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is the first time I can remember starting to do this. He was like my first like serious, serious boyfriend. And so I would go stay at his parents' house. Well, all day I wouldn't go, even if I had to, because I was like, oh no, I would go to sleep. I would get up in the middle of the night. I would set an alarm for like 2 a.m. and I'd get up and I'd go to the bathroom then when everyone in the house was asleep. Because I would be like, I'll spontaneously combust if anyone in this house knows that I do this. A normal human process. But for me, it was rooted in deep shame. Anyway, I've progressed since then, and I've become more open about it. And humans are humans. But that was the first time I'd had to do that in the presence of
others. So there was no event that happened.
No, but no one ever caught me.
Dumb and Dumber moment where Lloyd Christmas put something in your drink.
No, I like to think to this day he and his family thinks her body just digests food differently. She doesn't do that.
So, I remember
Steed family. Godspeed.
So my very first girlfriend was also at the same time. For some reason, I got a boil on my ass. And I don't know why I did. It was either a cyst or something. It was awful. And I don't know why it came. And the doctors could not explain it to this day either. And I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk.
Where
I was in
was
such
it?
Pain right on my cheek. Like almost kind of just... Like, if I could paint a picture for you, here's the Moses Red Sea moment that you got right there, and near the splitting of the divine waters, kind of there.
Okay.
Because it would rub if you walked, any kind of kinetic movement would cause it to rub and violate me with pain, and I would almost cry. I had to get it lanced. Anyway, but before I got it lanced, I went to visit my girlfriend, and all I could do was lay on her couch on my stomach like this, and her dad was like, I don't get to sit on my own couch, because what's wrong with them? Because I was embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to know. I'm like, I got this thing. I don't know what's happening, but it's on my butt.
And you make fun of me for shame. You had a medical condition.
I wasn't ashamed of it.
You weren't telling anyone yet. You're being rude.
That's a big difference.
First of all, laying on your stomach anywhere.
What do you mean? That's a big difference.
It's weird.
It's a big difference.
Good people don't lay on their stomach.
All you do is a natural process that we all do as humans.
How do you know that?
I had an abnormality.
That's a secret.
That is shame. I am different from you. I can no longer walk because I am festered.
So you'd rather have her dad think you're just a J-hole. Thank you, Will Ferrell, for that.
I didn't know he was coming home. And this guy was a Vietnam vet. A Marine who killed people, I'm pretty sure.
Sir, as a man who's been through literal war, then you have to grasp the pain right. I'm in.
You must know.
I've got a big zit on my butt crack.
I hope what I'm going through doesn't PTSD you into a rage. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That was awful.
So what happened?
Well, I finally had to go to the hospital, and they put me out. Huh? And she was supposed to come see me, by the way.
Yeah.
To visit me.
You had a battle wound.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, everybody was worried about me. You know, I got to wake up from the amnesia and all that. First time I ever.
Anesthesia.
Oh, the amnesia. That's that Sandra Bullock movie. I'm sorry. I'm getting that confused.
The weirdest symptom of my butt boil was the amnesia. I don't remember that whole summer.
Yeah, that was not good.
We don't want him to remember the pain. Knock him out. Give him amnesia.
Anyway, you know what I meant. Anesthesia. Not the amnesia. Anyway.
The anesthesia.
But she didn't come visit because her dad took her to Toyota to go tour the factory.
Does she work there now?
No!
I can't remember.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening and watching.
We're getting the hard rap from Caleb over there.
Lee and Haley Overtime will be back next week. Again, send us your ideas on topics if you want us to discuss. Ideas at leeandhaley.com.
Or if you have any questions about us or the show or anything like that, or just comments from episodes you've seen between now and when our next podcast hits, once a week we are coming to you here on the KSR platform. Thank you to our friends at KSR and On3 for helping us launch this new The Lee and Haley Show Overtime podcast. And thank you for listening and watching. If you're listening at home, remember we're posting videos of this podcast to our YouTube channel. Just search Lee and Haley.
See you later, guys.
Bye.